Greetings from the land of sweetness, the Sugarland Church of Christ, and it is such a delight and a pleasure to be here with you, along with my beautiful, virtuous wife, Nichelle, who has come to support me in the preaching of God's word to the youth. I'm honored and privileged to have this opportunity to stand in this pulpit of this model congregation where my former professor, Brother Gibbs, preaches weekly, and I'm just honored to have this opportunity to share a word from the Lord with you. Now, I'm going to just act like I'm home. Is that all right? All right. John chapter 15, and as you turn to John 15, I want to commend the youth for doing a masterful job in the devotional part of the worship. It takes a lot of courage and strength and boldness to do what they have done, and we want to continue to encourage them as they are not the church of tomorrow, but the church of today. John chapter 15, beginning at verse number 1, and we shall see if there be a word from the Lord. There the Bible reads, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing." From this text, I want to lift the subject for your consideration: do it for the vine. Do it for the vine. We'll go to school first, and we'll have some church later. In John chapter 15, we find that Jesus and his disciples had just left the upper room where he gave the Last Supper and instituted the Lord's Supper. Now he's on his way to the Garden of Gethsemane. And perhaps as he's walking with his disciples, he sees vines on the walls and uses this as an opportunity to teach them what an abiding relationship is all about. Jesus gives his last I am statement in John chapter 15 and verse number 1 as well as verse number 5. And he says, "I am the true vine." Now, when he said, "I am the true vine," that ought to cause the ears of the disciples to perk up, because Israel in the Old Testament was considered as a vine. In Psalm 80, verses 8 through 10, God said, "I chosen a vine out of Egypt. I took all of the heathens out of the way, and I planted them, in a prosperous position." God said, "I have a desire for my people. I want my people to be successful. I want them to be prosperous. I want them to be beneficial. I want them to be an example to the world." And so God says, "I got all the worldly folk out of the way." But then we find that Israel was unfaithful in her position, in her responsibility. And because of that, she did not do what God had called her to do. So Jesus arrives on the scene and he says, "I am the true vine." He says, "I'm the real deal. I am perfectly positioned to give my people what they need." Now, young folk, we got challenges. And I'm only 38, so I'm still in that young category. Praise the mighty name of Jesus. We have some challenges. The world has a strategy. The world has a pattern that it has set out for us to follow. You remember Paul in Romans chapter 12, verse number 2, he says, "Be not conformed to this world." In other words, stop conforming to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Satan has us on his hit list. Understand that hell is prepared for the devil and his angels, but the Satan is not happy in being there by himself along with his angels. He wants everybody in here with him. And if you end up where he is, you are an intruder because God never intended for you to be there in the first place. So now here's the deal. How do I get off of his hit list? Well, Jesus gives us the answer in John chapter 15. He says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman, or the vine dresser, or the land worker, or the toiler, or the laborer. In other words, God is actively involved in helping his children become what it is he intended for them to become. He says, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, Jesus says, he takes away. Now, when you look at this phrase, takes away, it's an interesting phrase because some commentators would have us to believe that this is an automatic extinction or excommunication from the church. I want you to understand that the word here is iro, which means to lift up. Usually when a vine dresser is prepping the vine for a fruitful harvest, he will find branches on the ground and he will lift up branches, branches that have the potential of bringing forth a cluster of grapes, and he will lift them up that he might expose them to the sunlight and to whatever it needs in order to be bountiful. The truth of the matter is, we got some bad days sometimes as children of God. We don't always walk the straight and narrow. We don't always write pen pal letters to the Prince of Peace in heaven. There are some days where the devil gets the best of us, and when he gets the best of us, we find ourselves flat on the ground. God sees us down there, but God reaches down with his love, his grace, and his mercy, and he lifts us and exposes us to the S-O-N that we might bring forth fruit to his glory and his honor. I don't know about you, but somebody ought to say, thank you, Jesus, for not leaving me down there, but lifting me up and exposing me to where I can be productive in my Christian life. We find that as we strive to live for Jesus, we got folk in our lives that need to be cut out. Say amen, stay in the church. If you can't say amen, just pat your foot. Ought to sound like some drums in here. There are some folk that just don't need to be in our lives because their plan for us is diametrically opposed to God's plan for us. And so unless you are aware of such people, you will find yourselves victims and not victorious. You wonder, why is it that my spiritual growth has been hindered? Why is it that I'm spiritually handicapped? Why is it that my growth has been stunted? Why is it that I don't feel the presence of God? Why is it that I don't feel the power of God? Perhaps you got some folk around you that you got to eliminate. And if you don't do it, God will sometimes take folk out of your way so that you can grow in the knowledge of his son, Jesus Christ. That's where the pruning comes in. Pruning is not always a pleasurable process. Amen. It's not a pleasurable process, but if I can endure the process, I can enjoy the progress. Watch what Jesus says. He says, every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, or he cleanses the branch, which means that I'm doing a little something. I started preaching at the age of 12. I don't know what I was doing at the age of 12. I was just putting scriptures together, throwing them on a piece of paper, and talking to folk about it. But then, at that young age, I was still impressionable to the extent that, yeah, I'll take my Bible to school, but I still saw what others were doing. And because of what I saw, and because I did not have an understanding of my identity in Jesus, I felt a need to belong to a group. This group didn't have the Lord on their hearts. Lord have mercy. They cussed. They fought. But they were popular, and I wanted to be popular. So every day I waited, the Bible or popularity, Jesus or popularity. Some days I would go with the group, and they would end up in fights and so forth. And I knew at that time I couldn't fight. I had absolutely no business being there with them. I couldn't do anything but run. Lord have mercy. God blessed me with some speed. That's why they called me Speedy Petey when I was growing up. I couldn't fight, but I knew how to get out of there to preserve my life. But I got the wake-up call one day when I was dealing with this situation and these guys wanted to jump me. And in fact, they did jump me. 15 guys on a brother. All I did was ducked and prayed. I felt the blows, and before you know it, they were gone. That next day, I was so sore. Head hurting. I said, I'm not doing this ever again. This is not God's call for my life. This is not God's purpose for my life. And then I started memorizing scriptures. I got over the Psalm, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. I wasn't trying to act like a crook. I stayed in the book, because that's the only way I can develop and be brought to a spiritual level of maturity that brings glory and honor to God. And so Jesus says here, God has to purge you. He has to cut you, because he knows that there's more inside of you than what's coming out of you. God says, I want to bring the very best out of you. And the process isn't always pleasurable, but you will see the end result. And this end result will be a vessel that will bring many souls unto him. But before I can help other folk get right, I myself must first get right. God says, I got to strengthen you. I got to deliver you. I got to save you. I got to empower you. I got to give you what you need in order to be productive out there in the vineyard. And so, how do I do this? I gotta remain in him. You see, the vine is the source of my life. The vine is the source of my productivity. The moment I am severed from the vine, the life supply is cut off. My strength is cut off. No longer can I bear fruit for God's glory, because I'm detached from the vine. That's why Jesus says, if you're going to accomplish God's will for your life, you got to stay connected to the vine. Tonight I'm going to preach, started from the bottom, now I'm here. And I'm going to show you how to get from the bottom to where God wants you to be. But part of that is remaining in the vine. How do I remain in him? How often do we pick up the Bible, the Word of God? How often do we take God's book over Facebook? How often do we like what God has said in his Word? How often do we understand God's purpose for our lives? One of the greatest tragedies experienced by man is to be born and not know the reason why he's born, and to go to the grave not having fulfilled what God intended for him to fulfill. That's a great tragedy. But Jesus says, listen, if you want to be the very best, if you want to be the strongest, if you want to be a heavenly influence at your school, if you want to be a great example in your neighborhood, then you got to remain in me. But you got to know what it means to remain in him. To abide in him means to take up residency in him. It means to say, listen, I'm packing up all my stuff and I'm moving over to Jesus. And I'm going to stay right here until God is through with me in this life. Now, that requires several things. Number one, I got to get into the Word. Yeah, y'all right. Now, I'm going to take y'all some places this morning. I just hope y'all ready to go. To abide in the Word means I got to study and I got to meditate. Preacher, what does that entail? When David said, I delight in the law of the Lord, and in it I meditate day and night. If I'm going to function as a young person, I need to understand the necessity of the Word of God in my life. I need the word of God. Y'all remember Friday? Don't act brand new. Y'all remember the movie Friday? Amen. This Lord. All right, but real folk who remember Friday, remember in that movie, Craig was fired on his day off. I'm bringing back to remembrance. And on that day, Smokey came. Now, I'm going somewhere with this. Don't get too far away from Jesus. I may have to reel y'all back in. But Smokey came over, and he was selling some of Big Worm stuff. And because they have nothing else to do on Friday, Smokey said, let's just smoke what we have here. But now, before we start this, we need to put a process in place. And that process is, okay, y'all. So you preaching, puff, puff, give, or puff, puff, pass. Is it conjuring up in your minds now? Now, the intent of this process was for both of them to get high. All right? One wasn't just going to get high and leave the other low. And so if folk going to get high, everybody got to do the same thing and stick to the process. You puff, then you pass. Lord have mercy. I ain't trying to take y'all back to y'all pre-Jesus days. But now there's a point for this. Here's the point. Because when I get into God's word, if I'm going to remain in him, I need to get in God's word. God's word is inspired. It is God-breathed. That means when I make the decision to study God's word, I am inhaling the very breath of God. And when I inhale the very breath of God, I exhale in application. That is, I take in instruction and I exhale application. I take in what God wants me to do and I exhale in doing what it is he wants me to do. When I inhale and exhale, I get spiritually high, but I don't want to keep this high to myself. I want to get into the word with somebody else. And when it comes to the word of God, I want to puff, puff, and then pass on the word of God so all of us can be high together. There ought to be somebody who's excited about getting high on what God has said in his word. And so Jesus says, listen, you got to abide in me, but you got to get the word inside of you. David said in Psalm 119, verse 11, thy word have I hid in my heart that I may not sin against you. If you want to overcome sin, if you want to overcome challenges, if you want to overcome addictions, get God's word inside of you. Well, preacher, that shit's so difficult. You know, I don't know if I can remember God's word or memorize God's word. How many songs you know? I ain't talking about in sacred selections or songs of the church. How many secular songs do you know? And then even if an adult tries to sing the song, you correct them by saying, no, that's not what they said. This is the real word. Well, how'd you come to know that? If you spend as much time with Jesus and his word as you do with the secular music, you will be able to remember more than you ever thought you could remember. And you're going to find the benefit of that word being inside of you. But Jesus says, no, I'm not through yet, because you need to understand your total dependency upon me. Not only do you need the word in you, you need to open up your prayer life. Your prayer life is critical. I look at prayer as an earthly license for heavenly interference. Let me say that again. Prayer is an earthly license for heavenly interference. When you pray to God, you draw a conclusion that I can't do it by myself. And I think some of the frustration that we experience as children of God is we're trying to do this Christianity thing by ourselves. We're trying to do it in our power, in our flesh. And every time we do so, we come up short and we become frustrated. He says, listen, the reason why you're frustrated, the reason why you can't worship the way you need to worship, the reason why you don't have this unspeakable joy inside of you is because you've tried to do this thing by yourself. Because when you stay in the word, you discover the will. When you discover the will, you discover that God is the one that works through you, and God is the one that empowers you. Paul said in Ephesians 6, verse 10, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. If you keep trying to do it your way, you'll keep getting your results. And when you keep getting your results, you will forever be frustrated and you will feel a sense of spiritual emptiness in your life. God says it's time out for all of that. You got to do it my way. And when you do it my way, you will get my power. And when you get my power, you'll be able to overcome temptations, overcome hurdles, climb the rough side of the mountain, swim the sea of sorrow, make it through the valley, forgive your enemies. You'll be able to accomplish so much more in your life when you learn how to turn the reins of your life over to me. God says, I got the plan for you. I got the purpose for you. And I got the power to fulfill that purpose, which is based upon the plan. The question is, do you trust me enough to do it my way? Are you going to move over? Are you going to get in the back seat and let me take over the wheel of your life and steer you in the path of righteousness for my name's sake? Or are you going to keep doing it your way? God says, I'm not going to beg you. One thing God doesn't do, he doesn't beg us to do what it is he wants us to do, nor will he force us. But God will do two things. Number one, he will allow things to happen to you. And number two, God will author things. Oh, Lord, have mercy. I'll preach in just a moment. He allows things because I need it. I need it. God declares the end from the beginning. I'm here, but he's already working on something up here while I'm still here. So that when I get to where God is already working, or where God has already worked, I'm brought into a situation that is designed to take me to the next level. But if I don't see it the way God wants me to see it, what is designed to help me, I will see as something that hurts me, and I will shrink back from God's purpose for my life. God says, understand this, whatever I do is to bring the best out of you. Don't misunderstand God. Don't misunderstand God. Don't get confused. Don't get discombobulated about God's will for your life. He says, when you pray to me, you're inviting me to come in. And when you invite me to come in, you're then empowered to carry out my will on earth. Everybody has a responsibility. Young folk in the church have a responsibility. And we would do good not to keep telling them they're the church of tomorrow, because in that mind, that puts a delay. That says, in essence, I got a little while before I got to do what God wants me to do. When we start seeing them as the church of today, we equip them today. We prepare them today. We get them involved today. We get them active today. We help them to understand the vitalness of their relationship with God today. We help them to realize that tomorrow is not promised. Whatever you're going to do for the Lord, you do that thing today. And you start by getting in his word, and you start by praying to him, and understand that you need him to get through school. You need him to get through life. You need him to get through these funny relationships y'all get in every now and then. Lord have mercy. You want to know why you're struggling with your boo? Because God may not be in the picture. I'm trying to help somebody. These areas in your life can be met. These needs can be met when you do it God's way. Jesus says, you can't bear fruit on your own. This is not a solo Christianity. You can't do it by yourself. And I know being young, we feel powerful. We feel invincible. We feel like, you know, nothing can take us down. We got all this strength, all of this power, all of this might. We got the world ahead of us. Our whole life is
ahead of us. I think I can handle this, preacher. I don't know what you're talking about. You know, I think I can do this thing by myself. I mean, all I got to do is Google it. If I Google this thing, I can figure out how to navigate through this life. Well, let me help you to understand something. Long before Google blew up, God has already given instructions. God has already laid out what it is he wants us to do and how he wants us to do it. God has already laid out the plan and the scheme for our lives. He's already given us the playbook for victory. God has already supplied us with everything that we need pertaining to life and godliness. God says, listen, my purpose for you is for you to be fruitful, but this fruit cannot be born by yourself. You got to trust me even when you can't trace me. You got to understand that my will is a perfect will. And the greatest problem that we face as young folk is this: God's will conflicting with our will. Now, this is seen on a microcosmic level with parents. Parents, if you can't say amen, when you tell your children to do something and they decide not to do it, there's a conflict of will. I don't want to do it. You see, young folk, before you get knocked out, listen clearly. When parents tell you to do something, it's not an option. It's not multiple choice. It's not, you know, I think I might do this thing, or, you know what, right now, Mom, I just don't feel like. I tried that a couple of times. Now, I think I'm a pretty smart guy. I was told to clean the kitchen. You know, we had 9 kids in the house. We were the Martinites. You'll find us right there between the Girgashites and the Jebusites. And so we had month-long kitchen duty. Month-long. Almost covered the whole year. Free labor, praise God. And so one day I was just tired. I had track practice. I was just tired. So tired. I mean, I was running up and down the stands practicing. I fell and hurt my knee, and so I was just sore. I was just all messed up, and so I got the dishes washed, but there's something about them pots and pans. You know, SOS pads weren't doing a job, and so I decided, you know what I'm going to do? I'm gonna get these things in the morning. I hit them in the oven. Of course, Mama decided to wake up, and she wanted to cook. And so she looked where the pans should have been, and when she didn't see them in there, she looked in the refrigerator. Didn't see them there. Where are these pans? She opened the oven, and there were all the dirty pots and pans. You ever been whooped out of your sleep? Lord have mercy. You think, for a few seconds, you think it's a dream. I said, man, this thing sure do feel weird. You open your eyes and you just see that belt coming at you like. I learned that when she tells you to do something, it's not a multiple choice. It's not circumventing what she tells you to do. It's carrying out right then and there. That was a painful experience. And so, when we look at this thing from a spiritual perspective, when God tells us to do something, it's not multiple choice. He's telling it for our own good, because the Bible says his thoughts are higher than our thoughts. His ways are higher than our ways. The Bible says in Jeremiah 10 and 23, "O Lord, I know the way of man is not in himself. If it was left up to us, we would be lost. We would be defeated. We would be destroyed. We would be forever in the land of everlasting destruction." But aren't you glad that God gives us time and time again. Aren't you glad that God is not through with us yet? Aren't you glad that even though you haven't done all that God has called you to do, you're still connected to the vine. You're still connected to the source of power and life and fruitfulness and productivity. God says, I'm going to make something out of you, but I need you to yield. I need you to submit to my will. Submitting to my will means that you have to get rid of some relationships and some friendships that are detrimental to you spiritually. If they don't care about your soul nor the eternal destiny of your soul, those are folk you need to get away from and then get strengthened by God and then go back to those same folk and help them to understand God's plan for their lives. You can't do it if you're not all the way together. You can't do it if you're not walking in God's plan and God's will. God says, I can make something great out of you. You ain't got to be on a team. You ain't got to be, oh Lord have mercy, you ain't got to have the best grades. But understand this, when you are a child of God, when you recognize your status and your identity, you can walk around with your head up and your chest out because you know that God has done something marvelous in your life, and God will use you as a vessel to bring many sons unto glory and to honor. The question is, are you ready to be used by God? Are you ready to be purged by God? Are you ready to be cleansed by God? Are you ready to get in the word of God? Are you ready to pray to God? Are you ready to meditate on God's will for your life? Because when you are ready, God is ready. And when both readies come together, something magnificent is getting ready to happen in your life. And your parents are going to look at you like, wow, I never saw this thing coming. Ooh, Lord have mercy. Y'all got me preaching my little heart out. You got to do this thing again at 10:45. But I want you to understand that you have a purpose. God has a purpose for your life. You are here on purpose. You have to understand your necessity to stay attached to the source of your productivity, because Jesus makes it absolutely and unmistakably clear, without me, you can do nothing. Opposite of that, Paul said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And here's the deal. You don't have to worry about the vine ever being corrupted. The vine is forever situated to supply you with what you need to bear fruit. The vine is not going to change. And so lack of fruitfulness is not a sign that something's wrong with the vine. Something is wrong with the attachment between you and the vine. The vine said, he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's not going to change. And so are y'all ready to get high for the vine? Y'all ready to do it for the vine? I got that from that YouTube video. Y'all seen that YouTube video? That phrase has everything to do with a dare and doing dares and then having those dares filmed by someone else. In other words, I want you to jump over the fence. I don't feel like it. Do it for the vine. Oh, okay. And then as you jump and they snap a picture at you, you know, you're over the hurdling over the fence and so forth. You put it on YouTube and you hope you get a bunch of likes. I dare you. I dare you to live for Jesus. I dare you to surrender your will to Jesus at this young, tender age. I dare you to give it all to Jesus. I dare you to let him take you from where you are to where God wants you to be. I dare you to allow him to lead you in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. I dare you to stay connected to the vine. Even when things don't seem good, even when things don't seem right, stay with the vine. Because if you stay with the vine, if you stay with the vine, you'll bear fruit. Some say, well, preacher, I've tried this, and I'm closing out. I've tried this. I tried this Christianity thing over and over and over again. I'm just
I'm just so caught up in what's going on in this world. They seem to be having so much fun, and Christianity seems to be a killjoy. And I want to be like everybody else. I want to have what everybody else has. I'm struggling with this thing. There's a tale, a fable of how Eskimos kill wolves. What they would do in this tale, this story, is that they would kill a seal. And they would dip a knife in seal blood and then plant it in the snow, handle down. And that blood on the knife freezes and turns to what is called a blood sickle. And so the wolf would come and would start licking the blood off of the knife. He licks so long in the cold that his tongue becomes numb, but he still sees blood and he keeps licking. Well, the blood is now completely off of the knife and he's still licking because he sees blood, not realizing that it's his blood that he sees. And the more of it he sees, the more vigorous he is in his licking. And before you know it, he has licked himself to death. And the Eskimo comes out the next day, and there he is, there right next to the knife. Sometimes, young folk, we want to lick. We want to do our own thing. We want pleasure in life. And we keep this thing going. We keep this act going until ultimately it is too late. It's too late to change. It's too late to make better decisions. It's too late to get a do-over in life. Now we're dead, eternally separated from God. That's why this lesson is so crucial and so critical, because you don't know when you're going to leave this world. You don't know when you're going to leave this world. The poet said, I have only just a minute, only 60 seconds in it. Forced upon me, didn't choose it, didn't seek it, didn't choose it, but it's up to me to use it. I must suffer if I lose it, give account if I abuse it. Just a tiny little minute, but eternity is in it. Now is the time to give your best to the Lord. Don't wait till you get older and say, well, you know what, when I get 50, then I'll start doing what God wants me to do. No, you give your best years to the Lord. And when you do that, you will prosper beyond your wildest imagination. There may be somebody that doesn't know Jesus and the pardoning of your sins. You need to understand something. You need to understand that you need Jesus. You need him in your life. You may say, well, I'm already a child of God, you know, because he made me. True enough, God made you. But just because he made you doesn't mean you're a child of his. Please don't get quiet, because I'm about to break this thing down to you. A boy made a sailboat, and he was so proud of the sailboat that he put his initials on it. And one day he decided to take the sailboat out to the water to see what it can do. The sailboat sailed out of his sight. The boy was so hurt. He was so hurt, and for weeks he just cried about this sailboat that's now gone. He was walking by a store one day and looked in the window and saw what he thought was his sailboat. He went in, looked at it, it looked just like what he created. He turned it over and there was his initials. Oh, he grabbed that thing, he smiled and started to walk right out the door. The owner said, hold it, you can't walk out of here without paying for the sailboat. He said, well, I made it. He said, listen, if you want this thing, you got to pay for it. So the boy went to work. He went to work and saved up all his money, did different tasks, odd tasks to make money, and finally he saved enough to buy the boat. He went in and gave the man the money. The man gave him the boat. The boy walked out holding the boat tightly. He said, now you're twice mine. First, because I made you, and secondly, because I bought you. God made you. But if you want to be his in the spiritual sense, you got to be bought with the blood of Jesus. And when you are bought with the blood of Jesus,
Now God can say, you're twice mine. First, because I made you. And secondly, because I bought you. How do I get purchased by this blood? By simply obeying the gospel of Jesus. Doing what they did 2,000 years ago. Hear the word, believe it with all of your heart. Repent of your sins. Confess Jesus Christ to be the Son of God. And put him on in the water grave of baptism for the remission of your sins. You become a child of God. And God blesses you because of the Christ that you have put on in baptism. He doesn't bless you because of you. He blesses you because of Jesus. And if you want to be blessed by Jesus, today's a good day to get a blessing from the Lord. And if you are a child of God, you've just been struggling, young folk in your life, older folk in your life, you're just struggling with this Christianity thing, your will keeps bumping up against God's will. God says, I keep waking you up because I love you and I want the best for you. And I'm giving you time and space to repent and do it my way so that you can be fruitful in this life and have the reward in glory. And so if you're tired of doing your own thing, if you're sick and tired of being sick and tired and you just want to start living for the Lord and staying connected to the vine, why not do it? Do it for the vine because he did something for you that you could not do for yourself. Do it for him and get with him before it is everlasting and eternally too late. Will you do that? We're going to ask you to stand on your feet right now. We're going to ask you to stand on your feet. And before our dynamic song leader comes and leads us in the invitation song, I want you to search your hearts and I want you to ask yourself right now, if the Lord were to come, would I be ready to meet him in the air? Or do I need to get some things straightened out in my life? Do I need to get reattached to the vine? Do I need to submit to the pruning process, the purging process? Have I truly surrendered all? If not, you make the decision. I'm coming to him. I'm coming to him because he came to me nearly 2,000 years ago. And I'm going to make this day the best day of my life. And then moving forward, every day will be a day lived for his glory and his honor. If you're going to do it for anybody, do it for the vine as we sing the Savior's invitation.
Would you be free from